Monday, the 13th of November, Rabbi Svi Belovsky, dying of laughter, what really happened to Sol Imenu.
And I want to explore the familiar juxtaposition between the end of last week's Parsha and this week's Parsha. And last week's Parsha, it's, although the very last part of the section is the record of the birth of Rivka and her other family members, the primary subject at the end of the Parsha, as you know, is the Akedah. And the next theme, beginning this week's Parsha, it's very Jewish, it's called Chayei Sora, but of course it's about the death of Sora. Vayu Chayei Sora, Meor Shonov Esim Shonov Sheva Shonim Shonim Chayei Sora, the Parsha begins, that the life, this is the life of Sora, the 127 years, that Tomos Sora, the Kiryas Arba, and Sora died in Kiryas Arba, he Chevroim, Beretz Kanan, in fact, where exactly it is, Vayovoy Avraham, this Poid, Le Sora, the Liv Poy So, and Avram came to eulogize Sora and to mourn for her, to cry for her. He has to come from somewhere. He's not there. He has to be informed, or he turns up, he comes from somewhere. And so I think the use of this phrase, Vayovoy Avraham, together with the juxtaposition at the end of the previous parsha, gives us a whole range of midrashic material, partly quoted by Rashi, which explore the circumstances of her death. Rashi says, Nismecho misas sora la'akedas Yitzchok. It's not simply that next to in the child in the text. These events are linked in some way. They're juxtaposed. L'fisha al yedei besuras ha'akedah. She actually died as a result of hearing about the Akedah. This is a text that you all know. It says, Damen v'nor v'shkita k'machu nishkat, that her son had been ready for shkita and had almost, as it were, k'machu nishkat is a funny phrase, but it means it almost actually happened. And when she heard about this, porcho nishmoso mimeno umeso, her soul flew from her simple understanding that she dies of shock. When she hears that what's happened and how close things were, she dies of shock. It's a simple reading. There are actually a couple of slightly variant midrashic readings, and Rashi is, I'm sure, aware of all of them. There's a Medrash Rabbah, there's a Tanchum, and there's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. The Medrash Rabbah begins by suggesting where was he coming from. He's asking that question. Mehikon bo, this Vayovoy Avraham is obviously indicating that he's not there at the time. Mehikon bo, Rabbi Levi suggests that he came mikiburosa shel Terach, from the burial of Terach. Is unfamiliar because it is challenged by Rabbi Yossi, and it was some while ago, he's working out it was 2 years earlier. That's not plausible. And therefore, it says, Mehechon bo, the conclusion is Mehar Hamuria. Where was he coming from? Avram was coming from Har Hamuria. Umesasoba Oysa Tsar, and Sora died of the distress, presumably discovering what was going on. Lefichoch nismecho akeda levayu chayesoro. That is why the parsha of the akeda is juxtaposed. The Medrash Tanchuma has a rather more a fruity description of the events. But oyster shor holoch hasfotzam eitzol soro, and this will help us to link from the midrashim to the slightly more esoteric sources that we're going to see that will perhaps explain the thing properly. But oyster shor holoch hasfotzam eitzol soro. At that time, the Sotan came to Sora. So, what's the Sotan? I mean, we don't believe in the guy with horns and a trident and there's fire burning in the background. And so, we refer to the important Gemara of Basra, which identifies the Sotan with the Yetzirah, the Malach HaMoves, which fits very well with this. So, it's an externalized image of the bad that we have within ourselves, with the bad that inhabits the world in consequence of the sin of Adam Arishan. There isn't a guy called Sotan. It is an image to help us identify with something that goes on within ourselves, and it's externalized so that we can relate to it. So the Sotan comes to her. It means perhaps a little voice within something. There are different ways of reading it. This Daminlog Kidmus Yitzchok, and appeared to her in the guise of Yitzchok. I don't think it means she woke up and she saw a man who looked like Yitzchok. I understand it to mean that, you know, we'll try and bring it to a small trivial but contemporary example. It's late at night, one of your children has not come home, and you're worried. and you're lying there tossing and turning and begin to imagine the Chatzishon, dreadful things that happen. What's really happened? They've got a flat tire, another round, I'll be home. But you can't imagine that. You imagine something dreadful has happened, and you begin to imagine all sorts of things, and you begin to imagine a car accident and the police coming. You're starting to externalize. You're envisaging events that are occurring in your mind that haven't really happened, until eventually, as the cold sweat breaks and they knock on the door and they say, you know, this is what happened, there's a flat tire or someone needs a lift or whatever it happened to be. Anyway, the Satan appeared to her in the guise of Yitzchok. Kivin shira oisa omraloi b'ni ma asolachod yitzchok. What has your father done to you, she says. Omraloi, he goes into a whole description. My father has taken me and he took me up the mountain. And he took me up mountains and down valleys, and he brought me to this one special mountain. And he built there a mizbeach, and he arranged the wood, arranged the pyre, and he got the wood ready, and he bound me on the mizbeach, and he took a knife to slaughter me. And had God not called out, not instructed, do not stretch your hand out against the lad, kvar hayisi nishchat. I would already be slaughtered. It would be all over already. He was really going to do it. Lo hispik ligmoir es hadovor. This Satan in the guise of Yitzchak had not even completed his words. Atiyotza nishmosa. Until she died. And that is the meaning of the verse of the Tanakhoma by Yovoy Avram is put with Soviet Koiso. Avram came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. Where did he come from, Hara Maria? And the final version of this Medrash that we're going to see, again, it's not that dissimilar, in the Perek Lamed Aleph of the Pirkei of Eliezer, the Shav Avram Mahar HaMiria, when Avram, this is quite interesting, it's a slightly different spin, when Avram returned from Har HaMaria, Chora Apoi Shel Samoil, the Samoil, Yitzhara, Malach HaMav, it's all the same thing, was angry. Angry. Shara shall I also be yod of Tavis Liboy, Levatel Korbonis shall Avnozimu. Because, presumably, the Sosa was hoping very much, and if you look back into the Midrashim, at the end of last week's parsha, you see all kinds of stories that Avram, he gets swamped by a river, and the water's up to his neck. These are all images to explain that the Sosa did everything possible here to try to thwart his plan. Because the cosmic significance of completing the Akedah successfully was so tremendous that it was obviously something which would attract a great deal of opposition. But at this stage, Chora Apoi Shel Samoil, the Yetzirah is very angry because he's failed. He has failed to prevent the Korban of Avram, meaning he has failed that Avram had created a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you like, an all-time investment in the attributes of the Jewish people that would follow him, and this is very distressing, if you like, for the negative forces who have failed to thwart Avram's plan to fulfill the mitzvah Hashem and do the Akedah. Ma'asa, so what did he do in response? He tried to create another problem for Avram. Holach, Ba'omel Sora, and he goes through the whole story now, and he goes, so he went to Sora, he tried Sora, tried to attack Sora. And he starts the whole story, do you know what's been going on? And Avram's taking your son and builds up a whole picture. His chida saw livkos, umi aleles, shloshi avovis, kenegis, shloshi tekios, shloshi avovis, yololis, kenegis, shloshi avovis. A whole lot of crying and weeping and some interesting correspondence to tekios and so on here, which requires a separate exploration. He begins to cry, uporcho nishmosa umeso. Her soul threw away, and she died. Uvo Avram umotza shemeso, and Avram came and he found that she had died. So in this, it's seen as a challenge more to Avraham that having failed to prevent Avram from acting, now he tries, as it were, to spoil the show afterwards. One is the Sotom, I suppose, before the same as governing, and one is the Sotom afterwards. That he can spoil the show, he can come back, he's obviously, presumably feels spiritually elevated, I'm not expecting him to come back and boast about what he's achieved. He's being spiritually elevated, he presumably feels that some tremendous aliyahs and developments in the world has been achieved, and a Sotom can spoil it in 5 minutes by coming back to the catastrophe to discover that his wife has died. So here in this particular bit, it's framed more attached to Avrov, which raises an interesting question. Cannot Sotin simply get rid of someone in order to show someone else? You know, that's an interesting question. Now, those are the Midrashim and their various versions of what is, anyway, an entirely familiar juxtaposition. It's a very well-known one. I'd like to explore this a little bit. Now, the Zohar Kodesh speaks about this fairly extensively. There are a few comments in the Zohar which talk about exactly this theme. Now, I want to read you this one, if you're interested in the reference. It's Chelik Aleph, Kuf Chaf Gimel, Omos Aleph, in the Vilna edition. Omer Rebbe Chia, Ho'ak Mu'al, it's established, the Okadisakad Yitzchok, that when Yitzchok went to the Akedah, Ba Tosin Shvasheva Shonim Kavo, he was 37. This is something which we're familiar with, and it doesn't just appear here. The Kivad Yitzakad Yitzchok, and when Yitzchok was bound, Missa Sora, Sora died. These are established facts. These are information that you don't need to read the Zohar to discover. They appear in the Midrashim. Yassiv, and he quotes the Pesukim ways. He come from Mehar HaMiria. Ve'inan Tzlosin, in many ways, I think in terms of understanding this properly, this is the key source. Ve'inan Tzlosin Ushvashnin, these 37 years, Miyomet Isyalid Yitzchok, from the day on which Yitzchok was born, Ad Shatad Iskada, the Isaked, until the day in which he was bound, I mean from his birth to the Akedah, these 37 years, I remember the first time I gave this show, I was 37, I found this rather disturbing, but that was a little while ago, right? Inan Chava Chaye Sora Vadai. These were the real life of sorrow. And this is the idea that we're going to see the source will pick up on. What does he mean? Kehushbin Vayihyu. The first word, Vayihyu Chaye Sora. Vayihyu, the gematria tzlosim b'shevon. The word Vayihyu has a gematria of 37. The 37 years, the last 37 years of Sora's life, from when she was 90, this is in fact how we calculate that Yitzchok was 37 at the time of the Akedah, because we know from the Pesukim that she was 90 when he was born, and we know that she was 127 from the Pesukim when she died. That's in fact how we calculate that he was 37 at the time of the Akedah. These were her real life. To correspond to the Gemat Vayu, these were the real life, the real years of her life. Kama, Yitzma, Mithi Isyala Yitzchok Ad Is Aked. As we've mentioned, from the time when Yitzchok was born to the time of the Akedah, it's important to realize that we are not experts in reading the Zohar. There are many layers of meaning. We are treating it here as an advanced form of Medrash. Well, I'm certain that there are many layers of more conceptual, mystical meaning which have completely escaped me. But we can nonetheless take it at face value and draw an interesting message. The real life of Sora. Sora died after 37 years, the years which she really viewed as her only real life, as something which was very special. Let's put that on hold and look at another Zohar, which is actually in Parshas Bereishis. In fact, it's one of the first pages, Yud of the Zohar, right at the beginning. And it starts exploring, a bit out of context, Mim Lelel Avraham, this is the topic from last week's Sedra, who would have ever said about Avraham, Heimika Vomim Soro, that Soro would feed children, who would have ever said about Avraham, an old couple without children, and so on and so on. So what's this? So this is really an introduction. Omra Sora. Sora said, and you're going to see it now, a connection on why I called the Shir, why I named the Shir this way. Tzachok Osoli Elokim. When Yitzchok is born, the Pasuk says, Tzachok Osoli Elokim. God has made me laugh. Me and Milela Avon, me Nigivon and Sora. Miyad, at this time when she laughed, and this laughter needs to be explored, what sort of laughter? There are many interpretations of the laughter. Let's see what the Zohar does with it. Immediately she laughed. And this laughter, therefore, you can see from the Zohar, is deemed as somewhat inappropriate. At the moment she laughed, an accuser came before God and said to him, Ribon Almo, Master of the Ribon Shalolom, Atamad Avram Oyah, you refer to Avram as my beloved. You refer to Avram as your beloved. Avram offered Sudosa. Avram made a big feast. This is a feast. It's referred to Vayaf Avram Mishteh Godoil B'yomi Gomeret Yitzchok. It's referred to there. V'lo Yehav Loch Midi. Didn't give you anything. Didn't give you anything. V'lo Yehav Miskinim. Did not anything to the poor. V'lo Yehav Kav Machafilu Yonachav. And he didn't bring any offering. Not even a single bird. The soup. And further, Omar the Posset says, Sora the Chaisbos, Sora's laughing. Omar the Akutsha Bruchu, Mamba Alma Avram. So God responds, who is like, who is there in my world of the quality of Avram? The Lozoz Mitamon, but the Sotom, the accuser, did not move from its place, from this dialogue, its conceptual dialogue, these things are all ideas, its conceptual dialogue with God. Ad the Balbel Kol Hahi Chedda, the Bilbel Kol Hahi Chedda, until he spoiled the whole show, and it spoiled all the fun. Upoki Kushbrukun Mikavli Yitzhak Korbona, and made God agree that Yitzhak would have to be offered as a Korban, as a tikkun, it seems, for their response to the time when he was born. The Zgaza al Sora, and then listen to this, and it was decreed upon Sora, the Thomas al Sara de Bra, that Sora would die. It was decreed right at this time, when Yitzchak was born 37 years earlier, that Sora would die in response to hearing the distress of Avram, meaning as a result of the Akedah. All of this was caused because they gave nothing to the poor. Very, very strange source. Source that maybe some haven't thought. They didn't teach us this one in Akedah, right? All of this happened, that it was a decree that Avram would have to bring Yitzchak as a korban, there'll be an akedah, and that Sora would die as a result. Everything was caused by the before, that it was, if you like, a self-centered event. I think we have to be very careful, not necessarily treat this as face value, but whatever, there is some kind of implicit criticism, even if only at a level that we would not normally address things. Now, there is an Aruch Haim HaKadosh at the end that appears, I think, actually at the beginning of last week's section, which starts to talk about Shoyv Oshuvei Lecho Ke'es Hayo. So it's promised in the middle of the section, the sorry is promised that she's going to have a child. And the Aruch Haim HaKadosh is troubled by the double phrase, Shoyv Oshuv, by the repeated, but it needs to say Shoyv Oshuv, it doesn't say Oshuv, doesn't need to say Shoyv Oshuv, the repeated phrase. And again, as always, there are many explanations of this. But the Aruch Haim says something very startling. And again, we are dabbling in things that we only have, of which we only have a limited understanding. But here, it's understood that there is something most strange about Yitzchak. To paraphrase, we only have another 10 minutes or so, and I want to share, I've still got a little bit more to talk to you about. I'll read it actually in the translation of this that I wrote. What's the reason for this repeated word? And also the Hine. Continues the Hine. The intention is the following. When Yitzchak was born, he was unfit to father children, as his soul came from the side of the feminine, with Sidr and Nukva, comes from the female side. And after the Akedah, he merited a new soul. He became a different person. And this is explained, of course, as if you like a Kabbalistic explanation of why there's only an effort to find him a wife after the events of the Akedah rather than earlier, because it would appear that in some sense he was unable, unfit, he wasn't yet ready, and he understands spiritually unready. And he explains that this is the two visitations, Shoyv or Shuv. It's going to have to come twice. One for the child to be born, and the other to give him a different spiritual identity at a later date. And if you go on and look further into the sources, you'll see that there's a link here between the soul of Sora. But what is happening is that there's some kind of interchange, something going on. Now, I want to tie the ideas together. I'm a great fan of the Tzror HaMoel. Many of you ever learned the Tzror HaMoel. Tzror HaMoel is written by Abraham Sabah, who was one of the people who was expelled from Portugal at the end of the 15th century. A lot of his writings were lost in his exodus from Portugal. We describe him as a Sfardi thinker on the cusp, I suppose, between the Rishonim and the Achronim. A very interesting thinker. And he ties all these ideas together. I think, in a very brilliant piece, which I'm going to share with you. this is Sramar at the beginning of this week's Parsha. Yeshlon lahoitzi midivreihem. We can extract. And what he does, he quotes the Zohar. In fact, probably when I said this version, that's where I got it from. This is not just light reading. I got it from a footnote, that of the Sramar. But what the Sramar, as it tells us, is what's he talking about? What's this idea? What is really happening? What is this business, the criticism of sorrow that she laughed? She didn't laugh? What other kind of response? To rejoice in some way at such an incredible miracle, at the age of 90, after a year of a life of infertility, she produced this child. What is the nature of this exchange? What is going on? Why is it that sorrow has to die? Why is it decreed that she's going to die? And if you remember, what is Vayehi saying that somehow or other the last 37 years, they were the only real life that she had. So the Sramar of Avram Sabar ties it together in this way. This is the general hashkofa. Even the very best things in this world, the greatest good of Olam Hazer, it's not really true good in comparison with the good of Olam Haba, with the spiritual Kodas Ruach and so on. Now, Mishnah talks about this. V'chein, and also the converse, V'chein rois ha'olam hazeh, einam rois b'hechlit, b'erech rois olam habo. And even the worst bad in this, however dreadful it might seem, however torturous and horrible, the worst bad in this world does not compare to the worst evil that can exist, bad, in olam habo. This introduction. And sometimes even we misassess the relative merits of good and bad. Sometimes things that seem bad are good, sometimes things are good or bad. We don't have an objective view anyway. That's all again part of the introduction. When God gave to Yitzchok, he's interpreting the Zohar. When Yitzchok was born to sorrow, she thought in her heart, Zer Eis Lischoik. This is a time to rejoice, to say it with complete abandon. The criticism is, it seems, that she celebrated and laughed with complete, although this was the pinnacle of achievement. It's quite understandable that at the age of 90 you have a baby. This is it. This is the purpose of existence. This is the greatest good that could possibly exist anywhere, in any realm whatsoever. And that's a mistake. And that is it, tying together two sources. That's the Vayehi of the first, of the 37. That they were the only real years, she only felt alive. Those years were the only years that had, which her life had any real meaning. And the criticism from laughing, nothing wrong with laughing, but it's celebrating. It's saying, we feel we've made it. We've reached the point where we've achieved everything there is to achieve. There is no further good. There are no madrigas beyond this at all. But that is attributing too much significance to Olam Hazer. Zer Eisis Choik, it is a time to celebrate for Omer, Tzachoik Osoli Elokim, God has given me this great Tzachoik, it's a physical type of celebration. The Fisha Koshvisha Zer Hoyotoy Gomor, the Ein Lamaila Mimeno, because she understood that this was the greatest possible good with nothing greater than it. Bechen, therefore, Kesholach Avram Meshochtoy, the Shame Balav, when Avram went to slaughter him with the intention of slaughtering for the sake of his master, means to perform a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will, Choshvesha Ovdo Kol Hatova Shaba Oilom. She understood she'd lost everything. She'd lost the purpose of existence. We call it lost the will to live. She'd lost her entire raison d'etre, the purpose of existence, because she'd invested too much in Olam Hazer. And the meaning of the Zohar, therefore, is that it will be decreed that she would be it would have to be brought home that Olam Hazeh is not the be-all and end-all of everything. That it's possible to go through the most terrible tortures and the most dreadful things and recognize that there is still a world that is greater. You know, victims of persecution and so on heard to say that, you know, you might be able to kill my body, but you can never take what I really am away because I'm not a body. The criticism, one has to be stated very carefully, the Zohar levels, according to the reading of the Sramar, is Sorah, and to some extent Avraham, invest too much in the meaning of their gift in Olam Haba, in Olam Hazeh. They misunderstand it. And therefore, what has to happen? There has to be a test in which Avraham has to be prepared to give it up? He is prepared to give it up. But because of the Vayehu Chayei Sarah, because these 37 years were perceived by her to be the greatest possible form of experience, her life is only given meaning by the existence of Yitzchok, and therefore the discovery that he's going to die, or that he even might have died, takes away her purpose in existence, and that is the understanding why she died, and that's the meaning of all the sources. That's the concept of the Sotan. It's all a replay, and I remember hearing this a long time ago, that there was a Zohar near the beginning, right at the beginning of the Zohar, which said it was all preordained. But what he's saying is that once you tie it to the other source, that the investment, the misunderstanding of even the greatest gifts in Olam Hazeh mean that when those gifts are taken away, you have nothing to live for. And so we've, I think, attempted, I hope successfully, to tie together the various sources and to give a different type of explanation. That's why we called it Dying of Laughter. I didn't look back and thought it was a tasteless title, but for which I apologise if you've shared that opinion. But it's an opportunity to see this story in different levels. We're familiar with the Midrashim, it's quoted by Rashi, and then we see that if you start looking at the Zohar, there's a different spin. And also it helps do that by Yiyu. You don't really need the word by Yiyu, but it's telling us something very profound. But because the 37 years were so significant to her, that is why she had to die. It was built into her existence that when the moment of Avram's challenge came, her life would have to end. It will stop there.